May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? 585.
Thank you.
Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth for ever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray for the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we may be truly taught by the Holy Spirit of God the real blessings and realities of thy truth. Oh Lord, we pray as we gather tonight that thou wilt come and be the master of assemblies. We may be favoured to feel and to sweetly know thy sweet presence. O Lord, one of old said, What is the house to me unless the master there I see? But oh, may we come as those Greeks that we have read of, desiring to see no man save Jesus only. We would see Jesus. And oh Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wouldst speak thy word with power and unction and savour and power divine into our souls. Thy word may be food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. And that any that know thee not may be brought to know thee vitally and savingly from this hour. O Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, we do seek, Lord, for that sweet access in and through the dear Redeemer. And, O Lord, do help us to spread all our concerns, all our burdens, all our cares, those great weights we have upon Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst grant to us a spirit of real godly repentance and godly sorrow over our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found at thy dear feet in humble confession, in humble repentance, truly pleading and begging for mercy. We would come with the dear poet when he said, "Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." Oh, may each soul that's burdened and weighed down by their sin this night sweetly you know that mercy the publican knew. Mercy that is transportingly sweet. Oh, we pray that thou wilt blot out all our sins and sweetly assure us, Lord, thou hast put them all away at Calvary, and that our pardon is signed and our peace is procured, and that we are in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, we do beg, dear Lord, that there may be yet many blessed with a sweet pardon in their souls, and all the sin that troubles them be removed, and their souls set free and at liberty, that they may tell of the wonders God alone can do. Lord, who give us faith, Lord, to believe that thou wilt yet appear. Oh, how we need thee to increase our faith and give us that faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls, and that faith to trust in thee, that faith to look wholly to thee. And oh, Lord, we would be found leaning upon thee continually, looking unto thee, casting all our cares upon thee. For Lord, to whom else can we go? Oh, we would come begging and pleading that thou wilt call by grace any that has yet know thee not, that there may be an awakening even in this village of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And may it be so in our own flock, Lord, and throughout Zion. Oh, do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. And, O Lord, those thou art working in, we pray that they may be established in the truth and made steadfast and unmovable. May there be, Lord, godly, stable characters throughout Zion that know what Israel ought to do. Lord, we pray for the young and rising race, the dear little ones, Lord, the dear children, the young people. Remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy people. May they in early days have thy tender filial fear in their hearts. And may they be given an aching void, Lord, which this world can never fill. And oh, that thou wouldst raise up those that shall be pillars in Zion from among them. Those that shall be a gracious strength to the churches, Lord. And oh, that thou wouldst keep each one from this world and all the snares and the snares of natural religion. And may they be blessed with thy grace and fear. Hear the prayers of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for them. And do remember those, Lord, that have heavy burdens. Do undertake for them, Lord. Help them to leave these burdens in thy hands. And may they see thy hand appearing for them. Oh, do make all crooked things straight, Lord. Rough places plain. Thou knowest the crooked things many of thy children have to walk through. But Lord, thou canst make them straight. And oh, we pray that thou wilt remember those in affliction. Thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. Oh, do sanctify these afflictions to thy people. And if it's thy holy will, do grant that needed healing and restoring and strengthening. And, oh Lord, do comfort those that are bereaved. Oh, do come, Lord, and make up the breach where thou hast taken those home from the families, Lord, and from the churches. Zion is weakened. Oh, we do beg of thee that thou wilt so appear and use the death of one and another for the awakening of many. Oh, Lord, do keep Satan at bay. Thou knowest, Lord, the power the adversary and how he does attack thy children. And oh, how soon he brings many thoughts into their minds, Lord, in the house of God that distract. Oh, we pray that there may be all distractions removed and thy people being able to meditate upon thee. We would pray with the hymn writer, distracting thoughts and cares remove, and set our hearts and minds, Lord, on things above. Do help the deacons and give them wisdom here and grace, and bless the hymns they give out, and may they be guided and directed of thee. And may those hymns, Lord, be made a blessing to many that gather. And oh, do increase the church, if it would please thee, with godly souls. May there be those made willing in the day of thy power to follow thee. And oh, do bless thee, dear young people, those that are seeking husbands, wives, and employment, or whatever it be, Lord. Those in relationships, do bless them together, that they may walk together in natural things and too in the vital things of God. And oh, we pray that thou wilt remember our dear aged friends. Remember one unable now to gather as in former days. Do visit her in her weakness and old age, and may she know much of thy presence and those heavenly spiritual blessings, may they be conveyed to her soul. Do prepare her and prepare each of us for the great day of death. Lord, none know how soon the hour will come, but oh, that we might be ready. We may be like the wise virgins and have our lamps filled and trimmed, waiting for thy coming. And oh, we do beg of thee, dear Lord, to sweetly assure us that it is well, while life endure and while we're called to die. Who help thy dear servants and anoint them with heavenly oil to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And oh, may there be that real fruit following the preaching of the word. And in mercy, Lord, do appear in this nation. Thou dost see, Lord, the solemn state we're in, and the troubles that prevail. We pray for thy grace and fear to be put in our leaders and rulers, that they may have their hearts turned to thee and to look to thee for thee, for thy appearing in the land, in all the turmoil there is. And we beg of thee, Lord, to make bare thine arm, and to overthrow all the laws that are contrary to thy word, and those that are seeking to impose them upon us. Lord, do put down all their thoughts and ambitions, if it would please thee. And may we still have preserved to us our Protestant heritage and constitution, thy holy word and holy day. And oh, do come, Lord, and appear for those that are persecuted and oppressed. Those, Lord, that are displaced by war and conflict. Do appear and undertake for them each. And deliver from the evil and violent men. And oh, Lord, remember all we would and should pray for, and all that need thee. Oh, do come and reveal thyself to us and to thy dear people as the one thing that is needful. Now anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. Grant, we pray, that help to speak and help for thy people to hear. And oh, may the devil not creep in and rob us of thy blessing. Now hear us in these poor breathings. And any that may feel left out or forgotten, do visit them. We ask thee to pardon what we've uttered amiss, all our sins and transgressions, in that precious blood of Jesus. and we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies, and crown thee, Lord of all, and bless thy holy name. May there be a true spirit of prayer tonight, and a true spirit of praise, that thy name may be honoured and glorified. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Jude 362.
Yeah.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the first part in verse 4. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. We have here, in this sacred chapter, some real longings and desires of the Bride of Christ, his spouse, his church. And let us look in our own hearts as we venture to begin this evening. Have we the desires that are set forth here, particularly this which is couched in our text? Draw me. Do you desire this as you gather this evening? You know, there's so much we need drawing away from, isn't it? We have an old nature that is drawn to the world, drawn to the things of time, drawn to pleasures. You see many on the Lord's Day drawn to the things of this earth, the pleasures of it, the sins of it. But oh, what a mercy if we have this desire given to us, and it will only be given to God's dear elect children. We read, don't we, and it's rested upon me much since this text dropped in, what Jesus said. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now you think how solemn and searching that is tonight. No man. This is what the dear Redeemer said. Can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we find, if you look through the scriptures in the New Testament, when the Saviour was here, those that truly came to him were drawn to him by God the Father. And we read too, didn't we, in the lesson this evening, what he further said. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And those that are truly drawn to him will have to be drawn away from everything of self. We sung of it. I thought it was very confirming. We should sing that beautiful hymn to commence the service. How we need drawing away from everything of self, everything of man, everything of our own natural thoughts. You know, there's so much, isn't there, that creeps into our minds while we're in the house of God. And so many things that would intrude and mar our worship. But you see, what we need is the Lord to draw us away from it all. And he's promised to do that for each one of his dear people. We read in the prophecy of Hosea, those very sacred words, I will draw you with the cords of a man and the bands of love. I will draw you. And you see, those in Hosea's day had known in their early days the Lord's drawing power. But they'd wandered and forgotten the Lord. And what was he to do? He was to draw them back. We think of many that have attended our chapels throughout Zion, and when I look back over the years, how many have gone through, well, at home, our Sabbath school. But where are they today? Drawn away by the world, drawn away by natural ambitions, drawn away by Satan. Oh, may the Lord hasten the day when he will draw them to himself and draw them back, because he did in Hosea's day. We think when they had turned from the Lord and had worshipped false gods and turned after other lovers, hadn't they? And what did he say? I will allure her. And if you look the sweet and sacred meaning of that up, it means I will draw her. I will allure her, and I will speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing as in the days of her youth. And you know, there's no singing like the days of our youth. But he was to bring her to that blessed point, you see. And draw away from all the false gods she had. And the false lovers. And draw her to himself. And here the spouse were given by the Lord this beautiful desire. Draw me. Now, grace and faith in gracious exercise in our souls will draw us to Christ. Oh, it will. But oh, you think in your heart the many things, and I preach it to myself, because the many things we need drawing away from. And you, dear young people, oh, may the Lord draw you away from all head knowledge religion, all things that are pleasing to the flesh, pleasing to the carnal man, and to draw us to a precious Christ. You look at blind Bartimaeus and those other two blind men. They had heard that Jesus passed by. They were in deep need. They were blind. But what did they say? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. They knew what it was to be drawn to the Lord Jesus, because only he could appear for them and deliver them. Only he could restore their sight. Only he could do them good. And then you can think of the dear woman with the issue of blood. She tried all the physicians of this earth, all the doctors. She hadn't just sat at home and said, well, I've got this condition, no man can help me, and settled down there. grace and faith in gracious exercise within her draws her to the dear Redeemer, but there was so much, wasn't there, against her going to him. There was her weakness. There was the crowds that surrounded him. She looked at her case, no doubt, and said, well, it's impossible, but you see, faith and love drew her to Christ. If she could but touch, she said, the border of his garment, she would be made whole. And she could see in the dear Redeemer, this is what faith will view, that there was everything in him that could supply her need. And she was drawn to him by love. You know, the Lord draws his people by love. And he drew that dear woman because he loved her with an everlasting love. And he drew her to himself, that virtue she so needed would flow into her, both in body and too in her soul. It's a very sacred word, isn't it? In the prophecy of Jeremiah, what the Lord said to him, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you know, if the Lord has a love to your soul and mine, he will draw us to himself. You look at the dear woman of Samaria, a poor, vile sinner she was. We've no stones to cast at her. He that's guilty in one point is guilty in all. But you know, that was a dear woman the Lord loved, and yet she'd been drawn by Satan into so much sin, and drawn by Satan to fall into terrible sins. But the Lord was to draw her out of it all, wasn't he? Oh, he was. And he was to draw her to his dear feet. And well, what did she say? You know, I love those words she spoke in the sitter. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you know, that dear woman was so drawn to the Saviour, wasn't it? Why? Because his love was toward her. And the more we know of his love being shed abroad in our hearts, it will draw us to him. You see, if you read right through the Song of Solomon, we know it is very deep and very profound, the blessed language in it. But there's one blessed theme that flows from beginning to end through this sacred book, and that is love. The love of the Saviour to his beloved bride, his spouse, and her love to him. What is it that draws two together in engagement and then in matrimony? It's love. And that will draw together. And what a blessed thing it is when not only there's a drawing together naturally, but a drawing together in the vital things of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the Lord will draw his dear people to himself. We read, don't we, in the marriage words of the Holy Scriptures, it speaks of the wonderful union between Christ and his bride, his church. And it's wonderfully manifested in matrimony. Draw me, and we will run after thee. What was it, if you look in the 24th chapter of Genesis, in the case of Isaac and Rebecca, we find as Rebecca goes with the servant and those that came with him back to Isaac, we find that as she sees Isaac in the field, she lighted off the camel to go to him. What was it? It was love that drew her. And love in the heart of Isaac toward her. Love is a blessed thing. You think of it in the epistles of John. It has the same blessed theme that there is in the Song of Solomon. It's love from beginning to end. If ever a man loved the dear Redeemer, dear John did. He knew what it was to lean upon the Lord's breast. Love drew him to Christ. Oh, it did. And it'd draw us away from everything else. What does the hymn writer say? Love all defects supplies. We have many defects, don't we? Many defects. Love all defects supplies. It makes great obstructions small. Some of you may have some great obstructions tonight, but love can make them small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. Oh, you read that 1082nd hymn. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. But let us go a little further as helped. You see, the spouse, she knew what it was to be drawn to Christ. And so did dear Ruth. You know, if you look in the case of dear Ruth, how the Lord wonderfully drew her. First of all, what did he draw her from? He drew her from all the gods of Moab and worshipping them. You see, Moab is often referred to like the world with all its sin and idolatry and wickedness. And she dwelt in Moab under false gods. But what did the Lord do? Because he had a love toward her, a love was everlasting, he drew her out of it all. He spoilt her of this country she would have been brought up in. He weaned her of it all. And love drew her out. But not only this, and it's been with me much since this text came, how the Lord wonderfully drew her to Naomi. You see, Naomi is a beautiful type of the Church of God. She was a soul that was loved by the Lord, was dear Naomi, a mother in Israel, we may say. And she had to walk through some bitter and hard things. And in it all, the Lord drew Ruth to her so she could walk together with her, not only as her daughter-in-law, but in the vital things of God. And she was drawn to Naomi. Now, let us pause a moment. If we really love the Lord, we shall love his dear people. And it was in love that she said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." All she wanted to do was to dwell with Naomi and for Naomi's God to be her God. And this drew her to Naomi. Now, look in your heart. Is there any drawing in your heart to the Lord's dear people? Well, may we be enabled to pray this. Draw me, Lord. Draw me to thy flock. Draw me to thy people. She could well say, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." We think back in our early days, and I may have told you before, but you know, I should never forget. In my early days in Stapler's Chapel, I used to look at some of those old saints, you know, and I used to think, they've got something that I haven't got, but there was something in me that drew me to them. And I used to say to the Lord, "Lord, may their religion be mine." There was such a drawing to them. And may it be so in the young of the flock today, a drawing to God's dear children, to the Lord's dear people. And then with Ruth, she was drawn to the field of Boaz, wasn't she? She didn't go into that field by chance, you know. The Lord drew her there. He had a divine purpose in it. I remember preaching at Stapler's, this must have been back in the early 1980s, on the case of dear Ruth. And was a dear man that came, he and his wife, into the chapel on the Lord, that Lord's Day. And the chapel that they had attended had closed. And he ventured to come. He said, as he told me some time afterwards, he said, "You know, I came up and I've never forgot that Lord's Day, you know." He said, "And I'll tell you why." He said, "You know, I came up that day saying to the Lord, 'Lord, if it's thy will, we should attend this sanctuary with God's people. Seal it home to me. The minister doesn't know anything about us. Nobody knows. Only the Lord.'" And he's really nearing his journey's end now, but he said to me only recently, he said, "You know, I should never forget you quoting those words, and when you read them, 'Go not to glean in any other field.'" And he said, "You know, the Lord gave me such a love to his people there. And it sealed him, you see, that the whole matter was of God." And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Drawn to them. And he's been a gracious asset over those many years since. But drawn there by the Lord. And the same applies, and I speak it lovingly, regarding a pastor. There must be a drawing by the Lord in the servant of God's heart toward the people, and there must be a real drawing in the hearts of the church and the congregation toward the man. It's like in marriage, you see. One of the reasons why there are so many divorces and broken marriage today is because, firstly, they're not made by God, and secondly, there's no real love in it. But where there's real love, there's a drawing together, you see. It doesn't mean to say we agree on all things. But there will be this drawing, you see, binding together by God. A threefold cord cannot easily be broken. And when the Lord's in the matter, you see, whatever it be, there will be this real drawing, and the Lord will bind it together. Like he did with Ruth and Naomi. But let's go further with Ruth. I digress rather. But go back to her being drawn to that field, you see. And there she was to be drawn to Boaz, and he was to her. Draw me. And I believe deep in the heart of Ruth there was this prayer, these two words, draw me. And you look how Boaz was drawn to her, and look how he was drawn to her to speak to her. And look how drawn to her he was in providing for her all that she needed. And then, of course, we find her drawn to the feet of Boaz in the threshing floor. She lay at his feet. She was under, and I speak this lovingly and rightly, the shadow of his love. Oh, she was. But let us go further. Go into the seventh chapter, I think it is, of Luke, and you read the case of the dear woman that went into the house of Simon the Pharisee. She was a poor sinner. She was drawn to the feet of Jesus. Oh, she was. And she washes her feet with her tears and wipes them with the hairs of her head. Drawn to the dear Redeemer. No, nothing was to be compared to him, to her soul. And you look at the blessing that she received. The pardon of all her sins. And how did he forgive that sin? Well, we may say, and I speak this lovingly and rightly, he kissed the sins away, the dear Redeemer did. Such was his love to her. And oh, you think of that love that he manifested at Calvary when he laid down his precious life. When he shed that precious blood, and I speak it very reverently, you know it was all done in love. I remember Mr. Sperling Tyler preaching on that blessed theme, you know, and the dear man used to say, where Pilate wrote that superscription, the King of the Jews, and dear Mr. Sperling Tyler said he'd had another blessed superscription written, and the elect will see it, and that was all this was done in love. Love was in it all, you see. And if I may just step back a moment, thinking of the dear Redeemer coming into this earth, What does the hymn writer say? Love brought him from above, and love took him home to God. And love was in all the steps of his journey from Bethlehem to Calvary. And love was in all his sufferings. Love to his dear bride, his church. You and I, if we're among them. And I tell you what, poor soul, if you have a taste of that, it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart. Oh, it will. But then you look at Legion. The Lord in his love brought him out from among the tombs. Satan was out to destroy that dear man, you know. And no man could tame him. But the Lord in his love cast out all the legion of devils. And he brings the dear man to his dear feet. And there to bask in his love, the love of the Saviour to him. And what does he say? And what does the Holy Scripture tell us? He sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed. And one of the things he was clothed with was everlasting love. And in his right mind. And when we're in our right mind, we shall be praying what's in our text. And we'll long to know more and more of that drawing. Draw me. And we will run after them. And you go back to Abraham's servant regarding Rebecca, you think how the Lord made her willing to run after him. Oh yes, we will run after them. We will run after them. When is it a person can, and I speak this very lovingly, really follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances and his commandments, it's when they're drawn by love. And you look at dear Rebecca, when the servant wanted her to go back with him to Isaac, and what did the servant say? Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And you know, love will remove all hindrances. Oh, it will. And you look how the Lord wonderfully did it in the case of Rebecca. They said, we will inquire at her mouth, wilt thou go with this man? And what did she say? I will go. Our text says, we will run after thee. Sweet language, isn't it? We will run after thee. You know, there's several in Zion. No, I trust in my own flock, particularly laid upon me. I long for the Lord to fill them with this love that's set forth here, this drawing power of his love. And I know this, when he does, they'll run. And they won't better keep back. Satan will do all he can to keep the child of God back. And so will sin, and so will unbelief, and so will our old nature. And the devil will put all the impossibilities in the way. I remember my late dear grandfather, and of course I've told you before, he was 82 when he was baptised. And the dear man, you know, he got to the point where he was so full of the love of Christ, all he wanted to do was run in the Lord's ways. And I remember him quoting to me those beautiful words of the hymn writer, "Dear Lord, the ardour of thy love reproves my cold delays, and now my willing footsteps run in thy delightful ways." And he will set these delightful ways before you, poor sir. What was it that brought the unit? It was love to the dear Redeemer. When they came to that certain water, God had provided it in the desert. And he said to Philip, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And what had brought him? It was the love of Christ. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And what a sweet word he was able to speak, wasn't he? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the living God." Love constrained him. And go to Cornelius' house. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we?" And what constrained them? Under the preaching of the dear Apostle Peter, they were constrained to run. But as Paul say in writing to the Hebrews, let us run with patience. He didn't say let us loiter in the journey or let us just walk in it. Let us run with patience. Here he says, the Holy Spirit concerning the bride of Christ, "Draw me." We will run. Look at the willingness. What do we read in the 110th Psalm? "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And then nothing will keep you back, poor soul. We will run. Oh, that willingness. It was so manifested in the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? We sing in the hymn, "How willing was Jesus to die." This soul will be made willing to leave all, like Matthew was when the Lord said to him, "Follow me," and he rose up and he left all and followed him. He could run. The day will come with each one of us when we shall have to leave this earth. And what will we desire? The Lord would draw us heavenward to be with him forever. When Mr. Tyler took the funeral of the late pastor at Black Boys, Jabez Field, he said, "Beloved friends, you will say, how did he die?" And dear Mr. Sperling Tyler said, "I'll tell you, the Lord kissed him out of this world. He drew him away in eternal love from this earth." You think of what a blessed end that'll be if that's so with us. And the soul that truly loves him will long to be with him forever. Oh yes, in glory. Heaven, you see, is that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles. Draw me. We will run after thee. We will run. And this was her desire. Now let me come right down before we leave it. Look in your heart and mine. Is it ours? Because that's the test. Is it ours? Because this is not the desire of the world, is it? Or of the ungodly. But it's the desire of a real child of God that's quickened by the Spirit. The Lord puts this desire in them. And they want to do what he tells them. Are willing to obey his sweet commands. What did the Saviour say? What a question it was to those dear disciples, wasn't it? If ye love me, keep my commandments. How would you answer that tonight, and how would I? Because if we really love him, all we want to do is what he tells us. Or it will be. You won't want to do anything else. You're about to say with the hymn writer, when we're in the reality of this, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. And he sees that love you have tonight. And how deep that love is. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, he said, if ye do whatsoever I command you. I must leave him. Draw me. May the Lord then put this longing and desire in each of our hearts. And may we, not only tonight while we're in the house of God, but as we go on our way and the steps of life's journey, may this be our continual petition. Draw me. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? But it's full of reality. And those that he puts it in the heart to pray this, he will draw. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, in conclusion, this is personal. Draw me. It's personal, you say. Each one of us. We will run after thee. Well, may the Lord grant it. I've only scratched around the surface of it. But may the Lord grant that this may be so with us each, and he will have the glory, because it's all what he has done, you see, from beginning to end.
God willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Pont on next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. 1099.
Thank you.
dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do be with us as we separate and take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.